Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by Gordon Law School at Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally, 7 days a week here in the United States, and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on diabetes when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? It's pretty obvious that something is wrong, very wrong, with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, our public institutions, and our national consciousness. Now, instead of these ten simple time-tested laws, we see the ten planks of the Communist Manifesto in their place. And they teach these ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, public institutions, and now we've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, this is a very radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years. Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion? That's right, an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. That's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments, and they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. Now, there's still one school left in America that still teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that you receive for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what the penalty to the law is to suffer its effect. So whether you call that the Mosaic Law, or the Law of God, or the Common Law, or Natural Law, or karma, or something else, it's automatic. And it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happens to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package. Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and of course, best of all, it's free of charge. You can call right now and order yours. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's simple, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine when you get there. Send an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about diabetes. Diabetes, remember now, is fatal. It's a fatal disease. It's not quite as fatal yet as AIDS, but it's on its way there. It's one of a number of diseases that are epidemic or pandemic and worldwide. Diabetes isn't something that you find just in the United States. It's everywhere, especially in the industrialized nations, the nations where we eat the best. We eat off the top right flank of the hog, as they say down here on the farm. Eating high on the hog. And there's consequences that come from our diets. And so I said to you a little earlier this week that let's take a look, or we would take a look at diet. We'll take a look at what causes diabetes. We've covered that. How do you prevent it? We've talked about that. Now that you've got it, or if you want to prevent it, what do you have to eat? It's diet and lifestyle. Let me repeat it. Diet and lifestyle. That's what causes diabetes. It's more of a medical problem than it is a legal problem, although there is some legal consequences that you receive for violating some laws. For instance, diabetes comes from eating fat, refined sugars, and a lack of physical exercise. Those are the three causes right there. Let me repeat that for you so you can understand it. You eat fat, which is a violation of Leviticus 3:17, and it plugs up the cells. The cells can't perform. They can't digest sugar, and you can't produce enough insulin, or the cells resist the insulin that you do produce, and you develop diabetes. That's number one. Diet. You are eating the wrong foods and plugging up your cells, and it gives you diabetes. Right? Not simple enough to do. Obesity has been linked to diabetes, and so we're getting fatter and fatter and lazier, and we found out from the Amish people eat a high-fat diet, and they don't get diabetes nearly as often. So what is it about the Amish? They work. They have tremendous exercise. They work all the time. That doesn't mean that they're out here, you know, pushing barbells over their head 8 hours a day. It means that they're physically active people. They're not sitting on the couch as couch potatoes watching television. So if you get exercise, and if you stop eating fat, which is strictly prohibited, and I'm not talking about watch your fat, don't eat too much fat, it's don't eat any animal fat. Now there's other fats, you know, there's vegetable oils, and there's such as olive oil. Those are actually pretty good for you. Some vegetable oils are pretty poor for you, such as hydrogenated vegetable oil. You want to avoid that just like you do pig fat. But the moral of the story is it's this high-fat diet coupled with the lack of exercise, coupled with the third element, which is refined sugar. And we found out that as the consumption of soda pop has doubled in the last 20 years, the consumption of sugar has gone up dramatically, five times what we were eating in 1950. And diabetes has doubled in the last 20 years. So as soda pop consumption doubles, the diabetes rate doubles. I would predict that if we could double the consumption of soda pop from where we are in 2006, so that by the year 2026, in the next 20 years, if we could double the consumption of soda pop, I think we could double the incidence of diabetes in the United States. Why don't we get after that and see if that's correct? Now, on the other hand, if you don't want diabetes, you can take comfort in the thought that, or if you have diabetes and you want to get rid of it, you can take comfort in the thought that there's hope through research. Every night on the CBS Evening News, or perhaps on the Lair News Hour, they'll have a segment on health. And they're always looking for genes. You ever notice that? And they're always looking for new breakthroughs in medical science and new vaccines. And they hold this out. It's kind of like holding a carrot out in front of your nose over here, see? And they've got you just sitting on the edge of your seat watching television, sucking in potato chips, and sitting on the edge of diabetes waiting for this magic cure so that you don't have to change your lifestyle. And that's because nobody wants to change their diet, nobody wants to give up Coke, and nobody wants to give up Big Macs. Which is what you're going to have to do. And if you want to avoid it or get rid of it, you got to get off your dead, you know what, and do something constructive about it. So let's start here with hope through research. Now get this. The NIDDK conducts research on its own laboratories or in its own laboratories and supports a great deal of basic and clinical research in medical centers and hospitals throughout the United States. Well, God bless them, huh? Now it also gathers and analyzes statistics about diabetes and other institutes at the National Institute of Health. The NIH conducts and supports research on diabetes-related eye diseases, heart and vascular complications, and autoimmunity, pregnancy, and dental problems. Now, other government agencies that sponsor diabetes programs are the Center for Disease Control, the Indian Health Service, the Health Resources and Services Administration, the Department of Veterans Affairs, and the Department of Defense. And many organizations outside the government support diabetes research and education activities. And these organizations include the American Diabetes Association, the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the American Association of Diabetes Educators. And in recent years, advances in diabetes research have led to better ways of managing diabetes and treating its complications. Notice that with all of these institutions, with all of these people, with all of this money and all of these resources, we don't have a clue as to what causes it, and we don't know how to cure it. But we certainly know how to treat it. Listen to this. They have developed treatments for development of a quick-acting, long-acting, and inhaled insulin. Okay, we're not going to come up with how do we eliminate diabetes in your body so that you don't have to inhale it, shoot it, or take it in a pill. Your body produces its own naturally, and we don't have diabetes, and we're totally cured. They have better ways to monitor blood glucose for people with diabetes to check their own blood glucose levels. Well, that's real neat. Instead of having to go to the doctor, you can do it yourself. And development of external insulin pumps that deliver insulin, replacing daily injections. Isn't that real convenient? Well, it doesn't make us, you know, totally independent from insulin, but we've got this pump, see, and it's more convenient in taking the insulin. It doesn't save us any money, but it's more convenient. Laser treatment for diabetic eye disease, reducing the risk of blindness. We're not going to cure the diabetes so that we don't have any retinal deterioration. What we're going to do is we're going to develop a treatment for the retinal deterioration, and it's called the laser. Successful kidney and pancreas transplantation in people whose kidneys fail because of diabetes. So when your kidney fails, we have better and more advanced techniques for giving you somebody else's kidney. We've got kidney transplants. And of course, think of this. Better long-acting inhaled insulins, better ways to monitor your insulin deficiency, the development of external insulin pumps, laser treatment for eye disease and kidney transplants. All of these advances in medical science make money for the American Medical Association. It makes money for doctors, makes money for hospitals, makes money for pharmaceutical companies. The worst thing that can happen to the medical community is that you cure your diabetes and your body stops rejecting insulin and your pancreas makes plenty. And you don't need a kidney transplant, you don't need laser surgery, and you don't need insulin. That's the worst thing that can happen to the medical establishment because it takes you out of the cash cow. You're no longer dependent upon somebody else, and your body functions normally. Now, if you'd like to get back to where your body functions normally, it's diet, it's exercise, and you got to stop eating fat and refined sugar. You got that? Very simple. No big mystery here. Got it right out of the Bible. Got it right from God himself. And, of course, there's a lot of these other organizations and institutions who have put a little bit of information into the pie, put a little information into the mix so that we can put it all together. I probably have 10 or 15 articles here now that we've covered this week. There's more. There's advances in transplantation of islets, clusters of cells that produce insulin and other hormones, and evidence that people at high risk for type 2 diabetes can lower their chances of developing the disease through diet, weight loss, and physical activity. You know, they keep hitting all around it, but they never come right down and tell you, listen, you want to get rid of the diabetes? Here's what you do. Three things. Exercise, diet, quit eating fat. And it's the fat and sugar, I should say. You got to get off that refined sugar. Remember, diabetes has doubled in 20 years by consuming twice as much soda pop. Soda pop, remember, is the number one source of sugar. And you're eating, oh, shucks, what was it now? 5,000 teaspoons of sugar a year just in your soda pop. 1.8 cans of soda pop per day on average. That means a lot of you people out there are drinking 5, 6, 7 soda pops a day. And your body can only digest, your liver can only dispose of 3 teaspoons of refined sugar a day. All right, now that I've told you about that real neat program, what will the future bring? They say researchers continue to look for the cause or causes of diabetes and ways to manage, prevent, or cure the disorder. Scientists are searching for genes. Notice this, scientists are searching for genes so that you don't have to take responsibility. It's not your fault. Scientists are searching for genes that may be involved in type 1 or type 2 diabetes. Some genetic markers for type 1 diabetes have been identified, and it's now possible to screen relatives of people with type 1 diabetes to determine whether they are at risk. Hey, wait a minute, kids. Let's suppose that we find the genes. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it after you found these genes, after you donate your money to these institutions and they spend your money on research and they say, we found the gene that causes diabetes? Okay, so what? Is that going to cure your diabetes because we found the gene that causes it? No, but I'll tell you what, it'll make you feel a lot better. You'll say, well, it's not my fault. It's not those Big Macs. It's not that fattened. It's not that sugar and soda pop that I'm drinking. It's not my fault. It was passed on to me by my parents. I couldn't control. And that's what medical science sells. And it sells well. I don't blame them. I mean, after all, you know, they're businessless like I am and you are and everybody else, and they got to make a living. And so they make their living selling insulin. And, of course, you have to buy it. It's either that or die. So let's take a look at diet. Our study shows diet changes can reverse type 2 diabetes. So what is it that we're going to change over here? Get your pen and paper out here and let's take a look. I told you about this guy yesterday. Let me give you his name and number again in case you want to write to him. His name is Gregory S. Kelly. Greg Kelly, MD. He's a naturopathic doctor. And you're not going to be able to use this guy, by the way. He's in Connecticut. So unless you live out there in New York or Connecticut or something, he's too far away from you. But he might be able to help you find a naturopathic doctor in your locality. There's 8 states in the union where you can find an MD. And if you're fortunate enough to find an MD, that'll be of advantage to you. But if you can't, then you'll have to do it by mail. And this guy might have some kind of a mail order program that he might help you with. Remember, it's diet. You know, what are we going to eat? What are we going to take? What are we going to do? Number one, you quit eating fat. Number two, you quit consuming. You stop the consumption of refined sugar. Stop. That means no more Oreos. No more soda pop. My wife developed cancer here about 30 years ago. And it was no more animal protein. None. Zero. For 2 years and 8 months, and she lived on wheatgrass and various other things until her body healed itself. Your body will heal itself. Your immune system will turn that diabetes around. It's tough, and I told you that before. I said psychologically, most of you people out there will not be able to cure your diabetes. But for those of you that can stand that psychological intimidation, I just wanted to let you know that diabetes can be cured. All right, this guy's name is Greg Kelly, 56 Lafayette Place, Suite C, Greenwich, Connecticut. The zip code is 0683. Zero. That's 06830 is the zip code. 56 Lafayette Place, Suite C, Greenwich, Connecticut. All right. Now he's got a little graph here in his paper called insulin resistance. I thought I'd share that with you and try to find the page. Here we go. Getting closer. Hang on here. I think it's on page 22. Am I right? Well, let me see what the heck I've got going here. Some possible lifestyle contributors to insulin resistance. Here's what causes your problem. High-fat diet. Cut the fat out. You got a deficiency of essential fatty acids, especially omega-3 oils, such as are found in fish. Stop eating hamburger. Start eating salmon. Now, you got a high-carbohydrate diet. It means you're eating a lot of potato chips. You have a lot of high-glycemic meals. You're eating a lot of meals that have a lot of sugar. Oreo cookies. Get rid of them. You have a lot of food that has refined sugars and starches in them. And those are your Oreo cookies and all of the pastries and all of the neat stuff that tastes so good and you just love so well. Refined sugars. You have a very low fiber intake. You don't eat vegetables. Then you have a deficiency in such things as calcium, magnesium, chromium, vanadium, zinc, and vitamin A. Again, I'll just run those by you again. Shortage of calcium, magnesium, chromium, vanadium, zinc, and vitamin A. You have a low intake of vegetables, so increase the intake of vegetables. You have a lack of exercise or sedentary lifestyle. And you may be using nicotine-containing products. I had an old buddy over here, died just last week, and I've been sad ever since. And my buddy over here was chewing snuff, and I was talking to him about that one day, and he said, well, it prevents tooth decay. It prevents tooth decay. And he was right. He was 69 years old, and he didn't have a cavity in his head. But you see, that tobacco is poison. So here's this poison in your body, and your body is just working overtime over here trying to excrete this poison. And when you're young, your body is stronger and has a whole lot more energy, and it can deal with that poison. As you get older and older, little by little, your body is unable to take care of that poison, unable to expel that poison. And so as time progresses along, your immune system becomes weaker and weaker and poorer and poorer. And one day this guy developed cancer, and he dealt with the cancer for a number of years and got by all right. And it was getting down to the wire, and I wanted to talk to him about that. And I said, two things here. You've got tobacco and whiskey, tobacco and whiskey. Give up those two things, and then the treatment for the cancer will probably work. And he didn't give up the whiskey or the tobacco, and he died. And, of course, then that makes me sad. He's not sad. He didn't feel anything, but I'm sad. So now let me pass this on to you over here. Hypertension and insulin resistance interventions. Here are some things that help you. Fiber. Let's take a look at fiber here for a second. You increase your fiber intake. In general, higher fiber diets associated with improved insulin resistance. Well, now, if you could eat more cabbage, you know, you sit down and you're going to have corned beef and cabbage. Remember that vegetarian guy? He said, you know, sit down, have corned beef and cabbage. Now throw out the corned beef and eat the cabbage. Good point. Good point. Corned beef is a bad meat anyway because it's full of fat. Enough you can take the time to cut the fat out of the corned beef, you know. That corned beef is probably all right for you. But now let me tell you something about meat while we're on the subject of meat. Most meat that you people are eating comes out of the grocery store. I've said before that if there's anything fit for human consumption in a supermarket, it is so well hidden I haven't been able to find it, and that includes meat. And that meat comes from the feedlots, and those feedlots produce 100,000 downer cows a year. Now, we call that mad cow disease in England. We call it downer cow syndrome here in the United States. And then they take those cows, and they grind them up, and they make more bypass protein to feed it to some other animal, and it perpetuates disease. And I wouldn't eat meat that comes out of a grocery store. Now, you know, I probably eat a little bit once in a while. I had a steak the other day. I went to a restaurant and had a steak. So, you know, once in a while, you can go to McDonald's. I say go to McDonald's. I wouldn't eat a McDonald's Big Mac, but I might go to McDonald's and have a fish sandwich or something, you know. Or I might even have a cup of coffee, cold coffee from McDonald's. But I haven't been into a McDonald's restaurant for probably 10 or 15 years. I can't remember the last time I was in there. I used to buy the coffee, but then they started making cold coffee, so I quit doing that. Again, there's just not very much out there that's fit to eat, and especially in a grocery store. You should be thinking about buying your meat from a local producer or supplier. You know, buy a whole cow. Save you a lot of money. Get it grass-fed, organic if possible. Stick it in your freezer and eat off that meat and leave the fat alone. You know, tell the guy that's processing it, I don't want any hamburger. I just want stew meat. Take all the fat and feed it to the dogs. Don't put any fat into my meat. And then that'll solve that meat problem. But the green leafy vegetables, you know, the broccoli, the Brussels sprouts, the spinach, greens, things like that. You replace the Oreo cookies with vegetables. And you know, those vegetables aren't near as bad as you think they are. There's many good recipes out there. And maybe you need a vegetarian to help you. Maybe vegetarianism for a while wouldn't hurt you. It gets you started on this fiber diet. Now, there's a second thing over here called vegetables. In general, evidence suggests high blood levels of carotenoids inversely associated with fasting insulin. So it's an increase in the use of vegetables. Now, fiber comes from other sources other than vegetables. You can get it from fruit. You know, from fruit. But fruit, you know, needs to be fresh fruit. Remember I mentioned this a little earlier. I said cancer is called cooked food disease. Cancer. I had an old naturopath tell me that one time. He said, that's cooked food disease. He said, when somebody comes to him with cancer, he takes them off of cooked food right away. No more cooked food. All juices and raw salads and fruits. So if you're going to open a can of Del Monte pears and eat them, you know, and the just take a look at the sugar content in there. You know, they add sugar to that syrup that they put in there. That's got sugar. Now, you know, once in a while I go to Ryan's or someplace and I'm fixing a salad and I like to take a spoonful of pears or peaches. They're canned. You know, they taste good. You'll love them. But nutritionally, that's not what you want, especially if you've already got diabetes. I mean, that's not the stuff. What you want is to just buy raw fruits and eat them raw. So, or you can buy them dry, dried fruits, but without that added refined sugar. Now, many times people say to you, sugar is sugar is sugar is sugar. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's like saying, well, vitamin C is vitamin C is vitamin C. No, it isn't. No, no. Coal tar vitamin C that's made out of dinosaur juice is not the same as organic, natural vitamin C. And the complicated or the complex carbohydrates aren't bad for you. It's the simple carbohydrates from refined sugar. When God told you, he gave you a land of milk and honey, don't be afraid to eat the honey and don't be afraid to drink the milk, as long as the milk is not pasteurized. Let me repeat that. Write that down, boys and girls. You know, people say, God, I got on the milk. Boy, I've been drinking lots of milk, and now I'm about ready to die from cardiovascular disease. See, milk has an enzyme in it, kids. Milk has an enzyme in it, and you can't digest it without that natural enzyme that comes from the cow in the enzyme. That's why you're lactose intolerant. When God gave you a land of milk and honey, it wasn't pasteurized. It's got to be raw milk. If you can't get raw milk, don't drink it at all. That's how bad that stuff is. In fact, I think you'd be better off drinking a six-pack of Bud than you would a quart of milk out of the grocery store. That's just my personal opinion, but take it for what it's worth. The honey, anytime you're going to eat honey, make sure that the honey is sugared or crystallized, because if it isn't, and you're buying this honey out of the supermarket, you know, that Subi special, it tastes good. I don't deny that, and it looks good, and that's what you want, something that tastes good and looks good. But it's about 49% corn syrup. That's a refined manufactured product. That's just like eating, you know, refined manufactured 30-weight motor oil. Plugs up your system. And it's not pure. It says pure honey. No, it's not pure. It's adulterated. It's mixed with corn syrup. And it's been heated. The enzymes are all killed. It's been filtered. So all of the pollens have been taken out of it. All of the things that you need in your body have been taken out so that you can have refined sugar. And that's what most honey is. It's just refined sugar. And so when somebody says, well, you can't eat honey. Well, you can eat honey, but it's got to be raw. And that takes us back now to the old naturopath. This old Indian doctor told me, he said, cancer is caused by cooked food disease. And so we eat honey. We say, I eat a wonderful diet. I drink milk and I eat honey. Yeah, out of Kroger's. Drink milk and eat honey out of Kroger's after it's been refined to the consistency of 30-weight motor oil. And you stick that in your body and wonder why it is that your body doesn't function very well. All right, we've got to have vitamin A-rich foods. Now, diets higher in vitamin A have shown an inverse relationship with insulin resistance. That's raw carrot juice. You know, go to the Wild Oats juice bar every morning. A lot of people do that. You start, go to the Wild Oats juice bar, sidle up to the bar, and have them pour you a tall one. And just drink one of those every day on your way to work. And then let's try exercise. If you live in the city, you probably don't exercise much, and people talk about, you know, the gym and the fitness and one thing and another. I've never seen any logic behind that. That's why I live out here on the farm and I work. I'm an old man, but I get up every day and I work and I sweat. And every time that you sweat, you expel toxins. Your skin is the biggest toxic eliminator that you've got on your body. I mean, you know, your kidneys expel urine and your feces is being expelled, and you know, you blow your nose and your earwax, all of that, you know, it's getting rid of toxins in your body. Well, your skin is the number one toxic eliminator, and it's done through perspiration. You need to sweat every day, and that's why the Amish people have less or little or none or less diabetes, because they work hard, not because of their diet. They've got a bad diet, but because they can overcome the bad diet by exercise. So tuck that one away in your heart. And then vitamin E. Vitamin E. Improved insulin sensitivity has been found with vitamin E. And remember the CoQ10. Improvement suggestive of increased insulin sensitivity from CoQ10. It's just like insulin. It's an enzyme that your body produces and needs. And you can get that in the health food store. And I don't want you to think I'm a doctor and I'm recommending that you change your diet or whatever it is. I would concede that you probably need some professional help. Probably need some help. Medical doctors typically are not the guys to go to because they don't deal in diet. They deal in drugs. Medical doctors are drug salesmen. They work for the drug companies and they get paid for selling insulin. They get paid for selling drugs. And naturopaths, they're prohibited from selling drugs. The naturopaths, they can't shoot you up, you know, with insulin. They have to have a different modality, and they do. And so they concentrate on your diet over here and your lifestyle, diet and lifestyle. And so they're going to tell you you got to change your lifestyle. Of course, that's not what you wanted to hear. You want a diet where you can continue to suck Cokes and eat Big Macs, and then, okay, and get after it. I don't know where that diet's at, so you'll have to go somewhere else. But if you want to cure that insulin deficiency over here, God tells you how to do that by law. So don't eat any fat. That's number one. These complex carbohydrates, such as that come from honey and raw fruits, you know, you can't overdose on those. Those are God-made and God-sanctioned. You can overdose on refined sugar. So if you get that refined sugar out, that'll solve about 90% of your problem. I got to give you a reminder here before we go on any further. And that is that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it's open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website. And the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed on the website. And the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The Law Hour offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, they're accurate, and they're correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and they often endorse, or we often endorse, and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give out do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are going to reciprocate and endorse and recommend the Law Hour or editorial review or anything else. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans who don't agree with our point of view, and we don't necessarily agree 100% with their point of view. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. There's a guy by the name of Richard Schultz, not in California, I think Los Angeles or San Diego. I've mentioned him a time or two, and I've actually done some programs on some of his products. He's a vitamin salesman, vitamins and minerals. He's a naturopath also. He's been in jail 3 or 4 times. That speaks highly of his credentials. I mean, if you can find a doctor, a naturopath who's been to jail, prison, that tells you that guy is damn good, because if he wasn't, they wouldn't have locked him up, put him out of business. And that's because medicine, at least here in America, I can't speak for the rest of you people out there, but medicine in America is a monopoly. Monopoly. And it's a monopoly that is protected by the police power of the state. So you have to be very, very careful here in this country about, you know, advising people about medicine or medically, and you got to cross your T's and dot your I's and be very careful about what you say, because if you say the wrong thing, you know, then somebody's after you. I want to demonstrate that to you. Here's what happens. The AMA is a monopoly, and the pharmaceutical industry is a monopoly, and that's why they resent these monopolies, which are sponsored by, backed by, and protected by government, are opposed to the cocaine salesman down on the corner. And they say, well, we got to protect the American public. It's not like George Bush, you know, saying, I'm just protecting the American people. Well, Mr. President, please don't protect George Gordon and the Gordon family. We resent. We don't want anything to do with this concept that you have of torturing people in Guantanamo and torturing people in Abu Ghraib and killing people, women and children. That's not American, and it's not Gordon, and it's not anything that we want. I don't want anything to do with it. It makes me ashamed to be an American. I don't want to participate in that. And the president, of course, represents an administration, and that administration, you know, they appoint surgeon generals and they appoint people, you know, in the Justice Department, and they're part and parcel with the system that's in place. And so they're out here telling, we want to protect you. You know, that's why we're very concerned about you buying drugs down here on the street corner. Hey, listen, kids, you can buy drugs down on the street corner, and those illegal drug dealers down there kill 6,000 Americans every year. And that's bad. And they shouldn't be killing 6,000 Americans, and we Americans shouldn't be consuming crack and cocaine and heroin, and it's witchcraft, and it's bad for us, and we shouldn't do it. But to have the president come out and say that he's protecting us in this war against drugs is so hypocritical, it makes me want to puke. Just makes me sick. Because the medical doctors and Pfizer and Merck and all these pharmaceutical companies kill 130,000 people a year, which is 17 times more people than the illegal drug dealers kill, and they're telling us they're doing us a favor. What a crock of BS. Now listen to this disclaimer down here. This guy writes up, it comes from what's called the Various Ways of Treating and Controlling Your Diabetes. And it's put out by the Worldwide Leaders in Advanced Natural Medicine, GHC. It comes from the Global Healing Center, GHC, Global Healing Center. And it's a neat little piece. Let me just give you the address here on the web. It's www.ghchealth.com. It's all one word there, GHCHealth, H-E-A-L-T-H.com. Now, this is Dr. Edward F. Group, G-R-O-U-P, D-C, okay, Ph.D., N-D, D-A-C-B-N. I mean, this guy's got to be real smart because he's got all these letters after his name. Not to make fun of him over here, but he wrote a disclaimer down here at the bottom. Now, listen to this disclaimer. It says, disclaimer, the statements enclosed herein have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and the products and information mentioned on this site are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Information and statements made are for education purposes, are not intended to replace the advice of your treating doctor. See, we're not here to compete with your MD because he has a monopoly. Global Healing Center does not dispense medical advice, prescribe, or diagnose illness. Now, why not? Well, because it's a medical monopoly. And if you think that we've got free speech here in the United States of America under the First Amendment, you've got your head up the wrong end of your anatomy. My God, don't you ever exercise free speech relating to medical advice, prescription, or diagnosis of illness. Don't you dare do that. That's a medical monopoly protected by the police power of the state, protected by George Bush, who wants to protect the American people. All right. Now, we design and recommend individual nutritional programs and supplements that allow the body to rebuild and heal itself. The views and nutritional advice expressed by Global Healing Center are not intended to be a substitute for conventional medical service. If you have a severe medical condition, see your physician of choice. This website contains links to websites operated by other parties. Such links are provided for your convenience and reference only. We're not responsible for the content or the products of any linked site or any link contained in a linked site. That's called the disclaimer. And they have to do that. They're out here selling you vitamin A, and they're selling you these vitamins and minerals and one thing and another. And they're in commerce. That's a commercial enterprise. They're regulated and controlled under the Commerce Clause, and so therefore they're part and parcel with the governmental apparatus. And so the government now creates certain monopolies. The insurance industry has their monopoly. The medical society, they have their monopoly. The pharmaceuticals have their monopoly. The oil people have their monopoly. These are monopolies. It's a fascist socialist welfare state made up of fascist socialist monopolies. Okay, and so it's against the law for me to get over here into the oil monopoly or to get over here into the medical monopoly or to get over here and interfere with the drug monopoly and so forth. And these monopolies are not in business to heal your diabetes. They're in business to make money by selling insulin. That's be intelligent. Let's be real. Grow up. Well, anyway, this healing center over here, they've got kind of a neat little two-page thingy over here. Various ways of treating and controlling your diabetes. And this guy's an MD over here, so he's a naturopathic doctor over here. But he has to, you know, cover his, you know what. Controlling your blood sugar is essential to feeling healthy and avoiding long-term complications of diabetes. Some people are able to control their blood sugar with diet and exercise alone. Others may need to use insulin or other medications in addition to lifestyle changes. In either case, monitoring your blood sugar is a key part of your treatment program. Pancreas or islet cell transplantation may be an option for people whose kidneys are failing or who aren't responding to other treatments. Now, monitoring your blood sugar. If you've just received a diagnosis of diabetes, monitoring your blood sugar may seem like an overwhelming task. But once you learn to measure your blood sugar and understand how important it is, you'll feel more comfortable with the procedure and more in control of your disease. Testing is crucial because it tells you whether you're keeping your glucose levels in the range that you and your doctor have agreed on. Now, the best range for you depends on your age and the type of diabetes that you have. For younger adults who don't have complications of diabetes, a typical target range might be 80 to 120 before meals and below 180 after eating. Older adults who have complications from their disease may have a fasting target goal of about 100 to 140 and below 200. Now, here's a healthy diet. Contrary to popular myth, there's no diabetes diet. Furthermore, having diabetes doesn't mean you have to eat only bland, boring foods. Instead, it means you'll eat more fruits, vegetables, whole grains, foods that are high in nutrition, low in fat, and calories, and fewer animal products and sweets. And actually, it's the same eating plan that all Americans should follow. Yet understanding what and how much to eat can be a challenging task. Unfortunately, a registered dietitian can help you put together a meal plan that fits your health goals, food preferences, and your lifestyle. Now, once you've decided on a meal plan, you have to keep in mind that consistency is extremely important. To keep your blood sugar at a consistent level, try to eat the same amount of food with the same proportion of carbohydrates, proteins, and fats at the same time every day. But even with all the information you need and the best intentions, sticking to your diet can be one of the most challenging parts of living with diabetes. I got to pause there and ratify that. When I was a young fellow, you know, I was a general contractor. And when you're a young fellow and you've got a young family, you know, you're out here working, trying to make enough money to pay the bills and keep the mortgage paid and so on, you work hard. And you try to do as much as possible in a day. So to give you an illustration, I had 7 service trucks and 14 employees. And I'm managing 13 apartment buildings with several hundred units, and I've got my telephone ringing. And we didn't have cell phones in those days either. You know, if I needed to make a phone call, I had to stop and run in a service station or a convenience store and use a public telephone. And, you know, today we see people run around on the streets. You know, these are type A people who are talking on their cell phone, eating a Big Mac, and driving down the street all at the same time. You know, they're steering with their knees and dipping their french fries in the ketchup as they're driving down the street with their pickup, you know, and they're taking a load of something out here to some job site. And I understand how that goes. But now, son, if you've got diabetes, and, you know, you're eating out of the fast food joint, and you're eating on the run, and you're under a lot of stress, and you're, you know, that's not going to work. And when these naturopaths and these old boys say you got to have a lifestyle change, they're talking about you got to change your lifestyle. You know, that's the bottom line. Now, for most of you out there, you're saying, well, I can't do that. Well, you're probably right. I don't deny that. You can't. You know, once you've made up your mind that you can't do that, well, you're probably telling the truth. You can't do that. So that's why the medical profession comes along, and they're probably the best option for you. I mean, you know, shooting up insulin is probably more convenient than sitting down and then eating a good diet. Now, you can cure this diabetes with your diet, and you can manage your diabetes with your diet, and everybody's in agreement with that. It's just that many people out here, or probably most of you people out there, you're not willing to stop that lifestyle. You're not willing to give up the Pepsi. You're not willing to give up the hamburger. You're not willing to sit down and eat more of this and less of that. And so, therefore, the the quick fix that you're looking for is an insulin shot. I can just shoot up with insulin and God, it's all over. Now I can get on with my life. So if that's what you want to do, that's what the medical profession offers. You don't have to change your lifestyle. You can eat all the fat you want. You know, they'll tell you you shouldn't, but you know, they don't care. You know, you can eat all that stuff because you've got insulin. Your body needs insulin, and they'll sell it to you. Just like old Joe down on the street corner, he'll sell you all the crack that you can snort. But, you know, it's not good for you, and it's kind of bad, and you ought not to do that, and everybody knows that. But, you know, some people, they can't give up the habit, and so therefore they got to keep on. Now, the ultimate end result then is you're going to cut your lifespan by 17 to 25 years. I mean, if you're a young fella in your 30s and you're out here trying to keep three jobs going at the same time, keep five families fed, clothed, and housed, and pay all the bills, you know, you're a contractor like I was. And I hear you, partner. I understand that. But I couldn't live. If I had had diabetes when I was 30 years old, if I wanted to be alive today, I would not have been able to maintain that lifestyle. So you're going to have to pack it in until you get that insulin thing back together. Now, if you want to get this thing on the road over here, you stop eating fat, you stop drinking Coke, and you start eating more fiber. Your body comes back into balance. Your body makes its own insulin, and your cells receive the insulin and dispose of the glucose, and you're back to normal, and you're healthy again. Hey, now you can go out here and you can live your lifestyle again. And if you'll stay off the fat and off the sugar, refined sugar, you can probably live to be 110 and die with your boots off in bed at 2 o'clock in the morning of old age. Now remember, this sedentary lifestyle increases your type 2 diabetes. You know, the sitting on the couch with no exercise over here is a killer. Not only does it add to your weight problem over here, but you're not expelling the toxins. You know that glucose that's in your cells out there? We need to get it out. And evidently, not only does the insulin and your bloodstream get it out, but also perspiration gets it out. So the other day, I'm going to pass a little trick on to you over here. The other day, my wife was reading Hulda Clark, and she came in. She said, I said the other day, it's actually a couple of years ago. When you get to be old like I am, you know, five years ago, just the other day. Anyway, she said a hot tub is good for cancer. And I said, well, why? She says, well, here's what it is. Cancer is a disease that's caused by a plugging up. You're killing cancer cells, but your lymph system plugs up, and you need to get rid of them. You need to get rid of toxins, poisons. How do you do that? By sweating. Now, kids, when you get to be old like we are, when you get to be an old guy, you don't have the energy. And so you see these young people running, you know, 5 or 10 miles, you know, they're in the gym. You watch these TV shows, you know, they got this ad on here, and here's this guy, and he's lifting these barbells, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Well, you know, even old Arnie, you know, is getting kind of old now, you know. One of these days, he's going to be pushing 70, like old Jack LaLanne. And old Jack, he used to be pretty physically active. I saw him on TV the other day. He's 90 now. Jack LaLanne, can you believe that? 90 years old. Doesn't wear glasses, doesn't have a hearing aid. Just goes to show you old Jack knew what he was talking about. And he was an exercise freak, you know, probably still is. Point is, but you can't lift them barbells like you used to. You can't exercise like you used to. So my wife says, listen, you need to sweat, and you can't exercise. So you get a sauna. Get a sauna. And so I had a student in here one day, and he said he wanted to go to school, and he didn't have any money. And so he said, I've got this sauna, and I'll bring it out with me. And so he was in Colorado or California or someplace, and he came out here, and he brought this sauna. Well, that was a couple of years ago. And well, yesterday I just got the thing put together. Now, here's the way this sauna thing works. If you've got one around, you know, maybe this will solve your problem. You get in the sauna, and you turn it up as hot as you can stand it. And you're going to start sweating. I got into one a couple of times, you know, in some hotel or something like that. God, they're really great. They'll make you sweat. And your body is sweating, and as your body is sweating, it's disposing of these toxins. So now if you're a couch potato, you know, then you got to exercise. And you don't want to exercise because you're too lazy, you know, or you're too old, you know, one or the other. And you go get into the sauna, you crank that thing up to about 100 degrees, and you get in that thing and you start sweating. You know, sweat is sweat, you know. Whether you're an Amish guy out here sweating, cutting wheat with a scythe, or you're a couch potato sitting in a sauna, you know. So tuck that one away in your heart. So we just put one in out here for us old folks so that we can sweat and get rid of some of these toxins. Now, there's a guy I want to tell you about that can probably help you with this diabetes. The guy's name is Richard Schultz. I don't have his name and number right in front of me. I was looking for his calendar before I came on the air here, and I couldn't find it. He's got a catalog, puts out a calendar, and he's out in California. Look him up on the web. I'm sure this guy, he's got to be on the web. He's nationwide. And then there's a second guy over here by the name of Dead Doctors Don't Lie, Joel Wallach. And while you're at it, make sure that you get the Joel Wallach, W-A-L-L-A-C-H, I believe it is. Joel, J-O-E-L, Joel Wallach, Dead Doctors Don't Lie. If nothing else, plug in Dead Doctors Don't Lie and get that tape. You'll laugh and scratch. I mean, it's better than I Love Lucy. I'm just telling you. I don't know what the price is. And he also sells mineral supplements, and he's a medical doctor, but he's a veterinarian. And he's really funny. And he said, you know, these doctors, medical doctors, you know, the professional medical drug pushers, they die on average at age 58. I don't know if you knew that or not, but now you do. That's right. Your medical doctor, he's going to die on average at age 58. Just a year after you die at age 57 from diabetes, your doctor is going to die. And he also pointed out that about half, I forgot exactly, but it's, you know, right at 50% of all the medical doctors, you know, the professional drug pushers, are drug addicts. So if you've got a doctor, the chances are 50-50 that he's a drug addict. But see, I don't know if that's illegal or not for a doctor to be a drug addict. I mean, after all, they're professional drug salesmen. So, you know, if the doctor is prescribing, you know, drugs for you, can't he prescribe drugs for himself? Can't he diagnose and prescribe drugs for himself? I don't know. I don't know where the law stands on that, but the moral of the story is that this guy, Wallach, now, also puts out vitamins and minerals and one thing and another. And here's his thing in life. He says, you know, you're better off to prevent the disease than you are to treat it after you got it. And he said there's about 92 elements that your body has to have, and if you don't have these 92 elements, that you're going to get sick. Well, you know, your automobile has to have certain elements, you know. And if you don't put all these elements into your automobile, then your car's going to get sick. If it doesn't have transmission fluid and motor oil and transmission oil and so on, it's going to get sick. So he's just telling you the same thing. So tuck this away in your heart. Now, it's Joel Wallach. Look him up on Google. And that guy I'm going to recommend highly. And then Richard Schultz, out in California, he's a Dr. Christopher naturopath. And he's been to jail. I mean, this guy's been in prison. Well, so was Dr. Christopher. I mean, anybody worth his salt's been to jail. It's kind of like the people in the Bible. You know, everybody in the Bible went to jail. Christians don't go to jail. But Peter, Paul, James, and John, they all went to prison. Jesus was crucified for being a traitor. He got the death penalty. John the Baptist got the death penalty. Daniel went into the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fiery furnace. I mean, everybody who's anybody in the Bible has been in the slammer. And that's a good thing, isn't it? And that gives you a good recommendation. You know that guy's all right. He's been to jail. Schultz is all right. He's been to jail. He's a naturopath. He can probably tell you how and sell you the products that you need to solve that diabetes problem. Hey, I'm out of time, kids. I got to leave right here and remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored again by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, just go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.